Henry Ford is famous for his work as an automotive pioneer, but he is infamous for his anti-Semitism. He blamed Jewish people for causing World War I, and in a series of newspaper editorials, Ford described German Jewish bankers as, quote, parasites, these sloths and lunatics, apostles of murder, unquote. Neil Baldwin is the author of Henry Ford and the Jews, The Mass Production of Hate. The book chronicles Ford's malicious anti-Semitism and the lengths to which he went to promote his hatred. Baldwin says there was one particular incident that incited Henry Ford's anti-Semitism.
In Ford's case, I believe that just about the time that he launched the Model T Ford, 1907, 1908, was at that very moment that Paul Warburg, the German Jewish banker, came to this country, joined the firm of Kuhn, Loeb & Company, and he began to publish some articles in the Times about the need for a centralized banking system in America, similar to the way that Western European banks operated. And this became the seed for the Federal Reserve System. I don't know how many people realize the Federal Reserve System was actually the brainchild of a German Jewish immigrant banker. And I believe that when Ford, or I know that when Ford got wind of the fact that the American banking system was going to be remade according to the paradigm proposed by a Jew, that's when you see his sort of coming out as an anti-Semite, because it touched upon his economic fears, his paranoid fears about Jewish financial influence in the world, which is really a very archetypal fear that many anti-Semites have.
What did he blame the Jews for? Was he concerned about particular economic issues related to the restructuring of American banking for which he blamed the Jews?
Yes, but it wasn't only that. Then you can draw another sort of filament to the entry of America into World War I. And it was just about this time that Ford and Edison and John Burroughs and Harvey Firestone and several other American industrialists start to go on these camping trips into the Adirondack Mountains in the summertime. And on one of these trips, Ford got up and made an incredibly virulent speech around the campfire in which he directly blamed the Jews for the cause of World War I and for the degeneration of Western European society and for the infiltration into American society and the sort of dark underside of everything that's wrong with America. And these words were written down by John Burroughs at that very campfire meeting, and they were preserved in his notebooks in the New York Public Library. And when I was doing my research, I came across these very words written down, transcribed, that never made their way into any publication by Burroughs or anybody else. And that's, I think, the sort of third stage in the full fruition of it was around the economic consequences of the war, to turn John Maynard Keynes's phrase around a little bit.
Now, it would be one thing, of course, people would say, well, this is not very nice, but at least he was only doing it among his friends on a camping trip. But that's not where it stopped, is it? I mean, he went to a great deal of trouble to spread those beliefs
right
to the public.
Exactly. That's why I'm trying to keep to this sort of these signposts on the journey of anti-Semitism, the road to anti-Semitism, as it were, because just a few short years after that, Ford decided that he really wanted a more prominent, more public platform for his own views. And he founded a newspaper called the Dearborn Independent, or rather he resuscitated an old country newspaper that was on its last legs in his hometown. And he hired away some very important editorial writers from the Detroit News, William J. Cameron being the chief writer, who was also a kind of right-wing Christian fundamentalist, by the way. And Ford started this paper, the first 6 months or so, kind of a normal weekly paper with lots of features of all different kinds of articles in fashion and foreign affairs and poetry. But then came along this feature, Mr. Ford's own page, which was, let's see, the left-hand page, too, was the editorial page. And then it was like, it would be like if he took over the whole op-ed page of a daily paper. The whole page three was called Mr. Ford's Own Page, which was actually written by Cameron. And that was where Ford began to broadcast his feelings about what's wrong with America. And he would systematically go through his repertoire of, you know, the youth of this country and how they're degenerating and our legal system and our educational system and, of course, our banking system and our agricultural system and every one of these systems of American democracy in some way or another, he believed, was being corrupted by the Jewish influence. And that sort of started a whole series of these over 91 weeks.
Did the Jewish community react to these articles as they came out?
Yes, of course the Jewish community reacted. In a nutshell, of course, it was a very big problem because on the one hand you had Jacob Schiff, the big leader of the American Jewish Committee, basically warning his colleagues to keep quiet because he said, you know, if you speak out, you're going to create, I think he said, you're going to light a fire that will never be extinguished in our lives or in the lives of our children. If you go up against someone like Henry Ford, you will rue the day, you will regret the day. On the other hand, you had the sort of upcoming next generation wanting to have petitions and take out ads and get signatures together and distribute pamphlets. And they even did a survey to show that the percentage of, quote, German Jewish bankers on Wall Street was nowhere near the amount that Ford hypothesized about, that there was a very minuscule number.
So they thought to take him on the basis of the fact, among other
yes,
things.
Yes, they did. But you see, he knew, I think he was a public relations genius in that respect, because he knew very well that it was kind of a thing where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, as a Jew, certainly. He stuck to his position regardless of the torrent of telegrams and letters that came pouring in. He was resolute in his desire to, quote, educate the public. To him, this was an educational campaign.
Now, one of the things, of course, I mean, Henry Ford apologized to the Jewish community, and you can question his sincerity. You could question it especially because there is, in fact, some connection between Henry Ford and Adolf Hitler, isn't there?
I was rather astonished to learn how early in the life cycle of the Nazi movement we find Henry Ford's publications in German translation in Hitler's little office in Munich in 1921. And that's only 2 years after Hitler had been in the Wehrmacht. I mean, 1919 was when Hitler came out with his first published written paper about the Jews as a problem, the Jewish problem. So we're talking about the Nazi movement in its very earliest years, at which time Ford has already, from an ideological point of view, touched Hitler's consciousness. And Hitler had a big black and white portrait photo of Henry Ford hanging on the wall behind his desk in his office in Munich, and he had all of Ford's pamphlet publications sort of fanned out on a coffee table in his waiting room in Munich when you would come up to see him. And he praised Ford very highly in Mein Kampf, which was just 2 or 3 years after that. And when Ford's memoir came out in German in 1925, Hitler was given this as a birthday present, and he wrote in the margin and he underlined phrases, and he kept that book with him for the next 20 years until he died. So I feel that Hitler had it was more of a mutual admiration society, but it was more from Hitler toward Ford.
You are Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like for you to read all of these articles, to do the research into all of this anti-Semitic material?
Well, this is the hardest book I've written emotionally. There were some moments where I had to literally, like, close the book or close the newspaper article or walk away from the microfilm machine, just take a little walk around the library, because I kept thinking to myself, how could this be embodied in one person? How could someone with the energy to produce one of the most revolutionary transformations in our culture and in modern times apply the same mentality to a completely negative impulse? It was kind of like incredulity mixed with disgust. And both of those emotions, those are very bad emotions to put into a book. So you sort of take your incredulity and your disgust and you go take a walk around the block and come back and start all over again.
Neil Baldwin is the author of Henry Ford and the Jews, The Mass Production of Hate. Baldwin says that he's received no direct reaction from the Ford Motor Company. But according to Baldwin, when his book was released, there was an article in the Detroit Free Press containing a statement from the Ford Motor Company. It said that there was nothing new in Baldwin's book, that Henry Ford was fallible, and he had apologized for his mistakes. The company had no further comment.